like to read with you in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And we will read at verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which was lost, is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I don't need to remind you that this is a story from the Lord Jesus' lips. His stories were so simple and so beautiful. And the simplicity of this story focuses on just two individuals. The 99 in the wilderness are really not in the picture. There are two individuals that are before us in the story, the shepherd and the sheep. Because when it comes to a gospel meeting, there are really only two people that are important. The Savior and you. And we would like you tonight to forget even the men who are speaking and forget the others who are with you and perhaps the building itself and all the circumstances of the day. And if I told you to forget the weather, I'd distract you because you'd begin to think about it. But to remember that all that counts tonight is that there is a living Savior in heaven who has a personal interest in you. And that is the ultimate issue in this present gospel meeting. What strikes me when I read this parable, or this part of a parable actually, is that the Lord Jesus is giving us God's insight. This is not an ordinary man who is speaking. Jesus is God. What he says is God's mind being expressed. And this is how God views you. This is God's insight as to you and to me. And of course, it thrills me as well that this is God's presentation of the Lord Jesus. This is how he is pictured for us. So I want to have you think with me tonight about the divine insight, God's insight about a lost sinner, a lost sheep. It strikes me that the people that listen to this story would understand this in a way that I don't, and probably you don't. But I do understand this much, that of all creatures, sheep were made for a shepherd. There's a fit. Sheep and shepherds just go together. A dog can manage on its own. Run away, and days later, it comes home, the proverbial, dragging its tail behind it. And a dog can manage on its own. Oh, I know we cuddle our dogs and treat them like the sheep, but they can manage on their own, I think. And cats worse. When cats finally learn the ropes at home, they would love to just let you know they don't need you at all, except when they would like to be petted. But a sheep needs a shepherd. Sheep can't get along without a shepherd. But I want you to know that that's just exactly the way heaven looks at you and looks at me. You cannot get along without Christ. Life will never be what it was supposed to be without Christ. I love the words that Peter writes to the believers. Maybe he hasn't met all of them. And they're scattered over different parts, different provinces of Asia and Bithynia and Cappadocia. And he tells them all, ye are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Once you were like wandering sheep, for we were like sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. This is what life is all about. This is the joy of living. We have been brought back to the shepherd. We know the tender shepherd care of our Lord Jesus. Now I'm looking at young people in the meeting tonight, and I will have to tell you that I am thinking of you with a father's heart. I wouldn't want you to go out into life without the Savior. I wouldn't want you to find how hard life can be for a sheep who doesn't have a shepherd. I wouldn't want you to know the heartache, the broken life, the broken character. I wouldn't want you to know what life is like without the Lord Jesus. I was spared from that, and I'm very glad. Because when I think of this, my mind travels over many miles just now and back 5.5 years to a hospital in Virginia. The neurological intensive care unit. Where a boy that I loved dearly lay prone. All kinds of tubes beyond what I could tell you about. Helping him to live. Big tubes down his throat for oxygen and all the rest all wired up. As he lay there adjusting to the fact that he would never again be able to move his feet or feel sensation below his chest. The most important thing to me was not how he did physically or even emotionally. The most important thing to me was how he did spiritually. I was glad at that point that when he was just a boy, he had come to know the Lord Jesus as a Savior. And so, early in the morning, stood by his bed one day, and I said to him, Rob, have you been thinking about anything from the Bible? Because he couldn't be reading the Bible. He just sat and looked up at the ceiling. So I said, Rob, have you been thinking about anything from the Bible? I give you a little pause in the story. There was no pause in his answer, yes? Yep. What were you thinking about? Now, I'll have to confess to you, to my shame, I was not excited about his answer. I thought it's too commonplace, too ordinary. He said, I've been thinking about the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. My first reaction changed pretty quickly. I want you to know tonight that in the unforeseen circumstances of life, you need a shepherd. And whatever you face in life, if you have the shepherd, everything is all right. And whatever you face in life, if you don't have the shepherd, nothing will be right. Nothing. Sheep need a shepherd. And above everything else in this world, you need the Savior. To shepherd, to care for you, to preserve you, to meet your need in every circumstance of life. I want you to know tonight, it is a wonderful thing to be saved. There is nothing in this world to be compared with knowing the Lord Jesus as Savior. Nothing. If you would like me to tell you tonight what my highest ambition would be for the two children that God gave us, the highest ambition for them is this, that they will know the Lord Jesus and live with Him and for Him for life and for all eternity. That's all that matters. That's why we preach the gospel. We want something better for you than this world has to offer. We want something better for you than all the bright lights and the glamour and your own way that is so appealing. Let me tell you again tonight, there is something better. There is something where life is. If you knew the Savior, if you had this shepherd caring for you day by day, well, you say, wait a minute, you've made an assumption that kind of leaves me in the fog. You're assuming that I don't have the shepherd. Let me point out to you then this second insight in the description the Lord Jesus gives. He tells us of one sheep that has gone astray. Because the Lord Jesus is picturing for us where every man, woman, boy, or girl is. Now, you may have the idea in the back of your mind that everybody kind of is in God's family, and all the sheep are in God's fold, and every once in a while, if a person turns out to be a Hitler, he's straying away. Could I tell you what the Bible says? Because nothing we say tonight matters but what the Bible says. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And whether you're religious or whether you're living on the edge of immorality or over the edge, you've gone astray. It's part of our nature to take our own way. Oh, we may do it with such apparent innocence. We just want to be ourselves. We don't want to have our parents always telling us what to do. Especially fathers don't know why they don't know anything when their children get to be teenage. Just let me do what I want to do. We've all been there. His own way. And you know that his includes her own way. Just let me live the way I want to live. Let me be independent. Now just let me remind you tonight that it's not independence of mother and father. It's independence of God. Let me choose the way I want to choose. You know, it's a strange thing how people live. It seems to me it's almost universal. I've never seen it, but they tell me that there's a hotline in the White House in Washington. I'm not sure how many nations are all connected on this thing, but there used to be at least there was that red phone there in the White House, and then there was a red phone over in Russia. And you know, if there was an emergency, ICBM's on the way, grab the phone, got to do something, right? That's what it was supposed to be for. And there are people that sit with a red emergency phone on their desk of life. They live their life the way they want to live it. And then when suddenly the ICBMs are launched, there's problems in the air. Mother is sick. Father has died. My child is sick. My friends are in an automobile accident. They grab the phone. And they get all upset because God didn't do what they told them to do. It wasn't that they asked God. They told God, God, please do this for me. But when God didn't do it, all upset. Why doesn't God do what I want him to do? Why doesn't God answer my prayer? Just one moment. Did you never think of what an incongruity? That's the best word I can think of. How out of place it is for you to be sinning against God, wandering off in the distance, not the least bit interested in consulting God as to what he has in mind for your life. What you know he has in mind, disregarding. And then when a whim comes over you, you expect the eternal, infinite God to suddenly say, oh, yes, whatever you would like. I want you to know God is kind. But I do want you to know tonight you have wandered away from God, at a distance from God. And if, can I put a little personality on this sheep? If you ask this sheep, how far are you away from the shepherd? I can tell you that he's probably further away today than he was yesterday, but he has no idea how far away he is. He's just moving on his own, careless, doesn't matter. The shepherd is not part of his thinking just now. I wonder where you are tonight. How far are you from the Savior? How far have you wandered? I wonder, are there some in the meeting tonight that are much further away from God than you have ever realized? Wandering on through life. Farther away than you ever thought you would be. Doing things you never thought you would do. The distance between your soul and God. I've used the illustration of the hotline, but maybe I'm changing the picture a little bit. Did you ever try to make connections with heaven and wonder why God seems so far away? God hasn't moved, but all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You and I have made the distance. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. I want to tell you one other thing about the way the Lord Jesus views you. This divine insight about a lost sinner. This sheep is in danger. The sheep is not out in, you've got the picture, right? The sheep's not out there in the wilderness trembling. He's moving on. He hasn't found what he was looking for, but he's sure he's going to find it somewhere. Right? Little tuft of grass here. That's not much to eat. There's got to be more out here. Keep on going somewhere else. I haven't found it yet, but I'm going to find it. Just the way men and women live. Haven't found yet what I'm looking for. There's something more in life that satisfies. Haven't found it yet, but I know I will find it someday. I tried this relationship, but that wasn't it. I thought it was for a while, but no, that wasn't it. And then I moved on to someone else. No, that wasn't it either. But I know somewhere, someday I'm going to find it. Moving on out there in the desert. And totally unaware of the danger in which it is found. Get a dog out there and at least he's got teeth. Get a cat out there and at least it's got claws. Get a sheep out there and the sheep has absolutely no means of defense. And what I am trying to impress on you tonight is this. You are in tremendous danger. Unaware of that danger and totally incapable of delivering yourself from it. Last August, I was in the shopping mall in Sarnia, in Ontario. I think it might have been the Toronto Sun. Would that be right? That was on the newsstand? And it was a picture that just would strike you as you walk past, and it caught my attention. Part of what struck me was the red color right in the middle of it and the blue background. And it was a strange picture. It was a picture from the north of Ireland. From the town of Oma. I'd been there. I'd seen this spot. I'd looked down the street. And here was the picture, an automobile here on the side. And then there was obviously a father with a little child on his shoulders, but it was whited out. You couldn't tell who it was. And over here on the side in front of the shots, there were figures waited out. And the title of the picture was The Ghosts of Omar. And underneath the caption explained that within 5 seconds of when this picture was taken, that car exploded. And the reason that those figures were grayed out, ghosted out, was because they were the victims. Walking along, the father with a boy on his shoulders. Oh yes, they heard that there was danger. But the danger was at the other end of the street, supposedly. And the father walks along on a Saturday afternoon with a bright blue sky, with his little fellow on his shoulders. And he does not know that the countdown is going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, eternity. And I want you to know tonight that you are in danger and you don't know where the countdown is. The danger of going into the next world unprepared. The danger of going out to face your sins and to be punished in those sins forever. And if we would accomplish this in the gospel meeting, we would be thankful to God. Not to get you emotionally alarmed. We are not aiming at your emotions, but we are interested in reaching your heart and your conscience to realize this. I am in my sins. I am lost. I am away from the shepherd. I am exposed to danger. And if I should go into eternity as I am at this moment, my soul would be lost forever, shut out from God's fair heaven, at a distance from God forever because of my sins. And could I just speak to you kindly, but I don't want to be indirect. I don't want you to miss the message. This is for you. It does not matter your age. You are a defenseless sheep, exposed to all the dangers of the wild. It's no wonder the shepherd is looking for that lost sheep, and he will not stop until he has found that lost sheep. I just want to tell you for a moment or two about a loving shepherd. It's wonderful that this is the Lord Jesus actually picturing himself. He's telling us that he is God. This is, while I'm talking about this is a parable, this is actually one part of a parable. And in this three-part parable, it has been long recognized that we are looking at the three persons of the Godhead. And here is God's eternal Son, painting himself in the delightful picture of a shepherd. I want you to know that the one that's interested in you tonight is God himself. God's eternal Son, who was here, born of a virgin. He was here, and he is God. And when he went to Calvary, mystery beyond my ability to explain, the one who was on that cross was God. And the one who suffered for sin was God. And let me say it carefully, the one who died was God. I do believe Charles Wesley's classic words, "How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me, the loving shepherd?" He came in devotion to man. He went to Calvary. I have often thought of this. I wish I could express it. There were things that the Lord Jesus said, and people listened to them, and they nodded their head, and they said, "That's nice, nicely put." And they had no idea all that that meant to the man who spoke it. Let me just point out one example. He went after that which was lost until he minded. And they listened for the next words of the story and had no idea what was filling his mind. He knew that until he found it meant Calvary. He knew that until he found it meant the agony of bearing sin. He knew that until he found it meant being forsaken by God at Calvary, paying to God everything that God required that sin might be put away. He knew all that was involved. The shepherd goes after a sheep, and he will never know what's going to be involved. He may find the sheep just now. It may be weary nights later and storms, but he's going to find it. The loving shepherd knew what Calvary would mean. Though let me tell you tonight that Calvary was necessary for one lost sheep to be found. You know why this story thrills me? It's so simple. But I'll tell you why it thrills me. I was lost. The shepherd found me. He went to Calvary to die for my sins. He paid a price that puts me in his debt forever. And I will be thanking him for it eternally. He died for me. And will I ever forget the moment when he found this lost sheep? He picked me up and put me on his shoulders. And he was rejoicing. Isn't that nice? He was rejoicing. And I was rejoicing. And I'm still rejoicing. And we would love to rejoice with you tonight. If you were found guilty, endangered, to realize tonight this shepherd came for me, and I'll trust him. And if you were saved tonight, rescued, secured, you would be thankful. Heaven will be joyful, and we will rejoice with you.